It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. Our topic for today is, are you committed to succeed or to just survive? If you're listening to the show live, then you're on octalkradio.net. I don't need to tell you that. Orange County's premier talk radio station. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or our Podbean site, gefeller.podbean.com. And while you're at either one of those locations, hey, check out our archives for some other great shows from the past. Well, a couple of announcements before I get into today's program. February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, is going to be the February meeting for the International Coach Federation Orange County Chapter. They usually meet on a Thursday, but because of Valentine's Day, they've moved it to Wednesday. So you might want to check their website, coachesfororangecounty.com, get all the information. Great speaker, Ted McGrath. He's going to talk about how to build a lucrative and lifestyle-friendly coaching business. His point is most coaches are trading their time for dollars. Doesn't have to be coaches. I think we could say most service providers are trading their time for dollars, chained to a desk with a phone attached to their ear, and they're not getting paid what they're worth. Is he talking about me? The time has come to change this and to build a lucrative and lifestyle-friendly business where you can make money even while you're on vacation. I'm going to be there. Hey, Ted, I want to know how to do it. So that's this month's Orange County chapter meeting, and the next week on our show, we'll have Rita's review and Rita Cooley, who will be with us, giving us a recap of what Ted had to talk about. Well, you know, here at The Coaching Perspective, we've been coaching executives and business owners 19 years now under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. And we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity not only of the team, but the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, communication workshops, and strategic planning. Okay, so much for the announcements. Well, look, are you committed to succeed or to just survive? You know, that was our teaser for today, where we want to explore the issue of commitment and its relationship to accountability. You know, in thinking about this, I think that accountability and commitment are just two sides of the same coin. So we're going to talk about how to not only coach your clients to increase their commitment levels, but hey, if you don't have any clients, how to increase your own level of commitment to the really important things in your life. So let's get right on. But to sort of start us off, given the time of year, I thought I'd start with a story about commitment. The story goes like this. A young man was very excited because he had just won a ticket to the Super Bowl. His excitement lessened as he realized his seat was in the back of the stadium. As he searched the rows for a better seat, he found an empty one right next to the field, and he approached the man sitting next to the empty seat and asked if it was taken. The man replied, no. Amazed, the young man said, how could someone pass up a seat like this? And the older gentleman responded, that's my wife's seat. We've been to every Super Bowl together since the day we were married, but she's passed away. Oh, how sad, said the young man. I'm sorry to hear that. Couldn't you find a friend or a relative to come with you? No, the old man said, they're all at the funeral. So was the older gentleman committed to attending all the Super Bowl games? I guess he was. And did he need any accountability tools to make sure he got there? I don't think so. And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, the core competencies of coaching identify, I think it's number 11, the competency of managing your client's progress and accountability. And when people talk about a coaching, and somebody asks what it's about, you frequently hear them say, you know, well, we work on accountability. I hold you accountable for the goals and tasks that you've set out. You know, I want to just start by saying that I think if the commitment level is high enough, there may not be much work to do as far as accountability. The gentleman sitting in the Super Bowl game while his friends were at his wife's funeral didn't need any accountability. He maybe needed some other social skills, but he had his commitment level. He knew what it was, and he was living it. But, you know, either way, if you aren't that committed, I think that until you work with your client, until you work with yourself and you measure your commitment level, you really aren't going to have much success with all of the different accountability tools that are out there. So let's be clear about what we're talking about when we use the term commitment. You know, if we look to Webster for definitions, first, we do not mean, as they put in the dictionary, a consignment to a penal or mental institution. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about commitment here. But consider the following three definitions. An agreement or pledge to do something in the future, keyword future. The state of being emotionally impelled, keyword emotionally. And last, the act of committing, pledging, or engaging oneself. You know, it really hit me that, you know, the key words there in terms of commitment are having an emotional tie to something you are going to do yourself in the future. That's what commitment is all about. And if you're missing any one of those three elements, I don't think you're going to be very successful in holding up your commitment. So what is necessary to turn our New Year's resolutions, as I like to call them, into real, meaningful commitments? Well, let me suggest that the following ingredients are essential if you want to be successful in meeting your commitments. First is sacrifice. You know, a primary key to knowing we're committed is when we're willing to make sacrifices in order to achieve our goal. Right there, we can eliminate a large number of our New Year's resolutions because they're things we'd like, but they're not things we would be willing to sacrifice anything we currently have or are doing in order to achieve those. It's sort of like a priority check. If you're not willing to give something up, then I guess you're not that interested in gaining something new. You know, this is a lot like time management. I don't like that term. I like to use self-management. But when I work with clients on time management, I always ask them, before we talk about the things that you can't find time to do, let's look at what you're doing and identify what you're going to stop doing. And the response I always get is, well, I can't stop doing anything. Well, then how are you going to add new things? Because most people I work with, they're already busy full-time. So just the same thing, the same kind of thinking applies to commitments. If you're not willing to sacrifice something to achieve the goal that you're committed to, then you certainly, it isn't a serious commitment. The second point is purpose. To have a meaningful commitment, we need to find meaning and purpose behind the mission that we're pursuing. I had an interesting discussion today on the phone with a coaching client, and he was taking the position, well, what's wrong with employees who say this is just a job, that they just come to work to get their check and go home? I don't know that I got through to him, you know, but people who really fully utilize their skills and their talents, people who put out that extra effort, people who truly enjoy what they're doing, are people who are pursuing some purpose behind just getting the money. Now, most of us aren't going to go to work unless we get paid. So that's a requirement. If you look at Maslow's theory of a hierarchy of needs, you know, getting paid is sort of down there near the base of the pyramid. But if we're going to be fully engaged, using all of our talents, operating up at the top of the pyramid, then there has to be some meaning and purpose beyond just satisfying, you know, food, shelter, those kinds of things. So as you look at the commitments that you want to make, the things you're going to be committed to, the question I'd ask is what's really behind it? What is the purpose behind that? And we're going to talk a little bit about that with some examples. So let's come back to that. The third thing I would say is determination. Determination and commitment kind of go hand in hand. Maybe they're the same idea with different terms. But, you know, determination recognizes that anything you're committed to, that inevitably there's going to be setbacks along the way as you try to achieve success. And if you're not willing to deal with these roadblocks, if you're not willing to deal with the setbacks, if you give up at the first sign of resistance, then you're truly not committed to this task. So, again, I ask, as you think about what you're committed, you look at that long list of things you want to do, and I ask, are you really committed to achieving these goals? You know, one of the ways of looking at it is, if it doesn't work at first, are you still committed to achieving this goal? You know, there's many things that I've been interested in achieving until it got difficult. And then I sort of realized, you know, I'm really not that serious about this. It was a good idea as long as it was going to be easy. But now that it's gotten difficult, my determination wavers and I'm not that interested in it. So determination is a key element, that ability to deal with those setbacks. Another ingredient to have a truly top level of commitment is focus. Focus is the ability to keep this goal or task in front of mind. And again, I'll point to the New Year's resolutions. How many times have we made resolutions New Year's Eve only a week later to not even remember what they were? How many times have we said we were going to do something, truly meaning we were going to do it, only to be reminded later on, did you do that? And again, immediately we rise up and go, yeah, I'm still committed to doing that. Yeah, you are, but you weren't focused on achieving that goal. You weren't, your commitment level, your ability to focus, to keep it to front of mind, to make sure that you were going to work on this every day, every minute, every hour, whatever it is you're talking about, wavered. And as a result, maybe you had the determination, maybe you were willing to sacrifice, maybe there was a high-level purpose behind this commitment, but guess what? You forgot about it. And if you aren't working on it, if you don't know what you want to achieve, you certainly can't achieve it. You know, it's been said of many successful business executives that, well, sure, I could be as successful as they were if I was that one-dimensional, if I was that one-sided. They aren't good at all the things I'm good at. They're only focused on the one thing, making that business a success. Well, focus is what has allowed them to achieve those goals. They had a high level of commitment. The last element that I think is necessary here to really have a commitment, to really be working on something, is a clear picture of the end results. In other words, without this clear picture of what you're going to achieve, what achieving this goal or task is going to be like, you're not going to stick with it. In other words, the benefits have to outweigh the pain of working on it. And if you can't clearly identify the benefits, let me give you an example. Somebody says you should do this, and you go, you know, you're right. I should start doing that. I should start exercising on a regular basis. I'm going to start running tomorrow morning at 5:30, and the alarm goes off at 5:30, and you go, yeah, you know what? I think I'll just stay in bed, because you don't have a clear picture of what the goal was. You're looking at the task. The task is get up and run or get up and exercise, but you didn't have a clear picture of what the benefit was going to be if you did that on a regular basis and achieved that goal. So what are we talking about here? We're saying that if you're going to turn your New Year's resolutions into real, meaningful commitments, you must have sacrifice, purpose, determination, focus, and a clear picture of the end results. you know, it isn't that difficult. So why is it that we don't do it? Well, you know, rather than focus on why we don't do it, I wanted to share with you, as I was thinking about this topic this last week, some specific examples came to mind, you know, of, in fact, they were great examples of commitments that I wanted to share with you, and why I think these people are able to stick with their commitments. Now, let me preface this with, I didn't go to them and ask them why they were doing it. So I'm kind of extrapolating from my knowledge of them and my observations of how they act. The first one that came to my mind involves my 9-year-old grandson. And his dad was out of town, and so I had the opportunity, I was asked, and I had the opportunity to spend a day with him, taking him to a baseball training camp that was being put on in our area. You know, as I thought about it, I mean, he was so up for going to that baseball training camp. I was up to spending the day with him. Once we got to the field, and it was a cold day, it was a windy day, it had rained before, and they weren't able to work out on the real baseball field. They worked out on the softball field. They weren't able to use the infield because it would have been destroyed given the weather there. There were twice as many kids there as what they thought were going to show up. You know, lots of reasons for a 9-year-old to go, yeah, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Let's get out of here, you know. But he was committed. He was totally committed to being involved in this baseball training camp. And as I thought about, how did he fit into my criteria for commitment? Well, sacrifice. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice the whole day. He had a hour plus drive to get to my house before we even went to the baseball training camp. He didn't drive. His mother drove him. He had a long drive afterwards. It took the whole day to go to a 4-hour or so training camp. And it wasn't a great day. In addition, he had sacrificed lots of time to improve his baseball skills even before we got to this training camp. What was the purpose? I mean, you talk about purpose. You know, it wasn't just to go to the training camp. It wasn't to get a ribbon. It wasn't to get a trophy. At 9 years old, he's got this very clear picture of the end results and the purpose of being a professional baseball player. Now, will he ever achieve that? I don't know. But, you know, it is amazing what he's able to do because there is a purpose. He's not just there going through the motions. What about his determination? I mean, this is something he wants. He is determined. He has been playing baseball at different levels for a number of years. Sometimes he does great. Sometimes he doesn't do great. But he's always there the next practice. How about focus? Day and night he's focused. And you talk about an end result pitcher? Yeah. If you haven't watched a bunch of 9-year-olds playing baseball, it sort of alternates between them being totally focused on what's going on and standing there playing another imaginary baseball game in their mind where you can see them jumping up and catching this imaginary high fly and throwing it to get the guy out and cheering themselves on. Absolute clear mental picture of where he was going. Total determination. You know, the second, and again, I apologize, a family example here, but the second one I saw was this last weekend. I had the opportunity to watch my adult daughter run in the Huntington Beach Surf City Half Marathon. This wasn't her first time. I think this is her second or third time to run it. In terms of sacrifice, you know, she lives in Fresno. She had to give up a whole weekend to come down to run that race. She had to give up a lot more time than the weekend to get in condition to run that race in terms of daily or five times a week. I'm not quite sure what her schedule is of distance runs to be able to build up the endurance. Those of you who run know that. Did she have a purpose? You know, she wasn't out for the trophy. She wasn't out for the T-shirt. She was out there because her purpose was, hey, I want to stay in shape. I want to be healthy. I want to feel younger than I am. I want to be able to keep up with my children. You know, was she determined? Absolutely. Was she able to handle setbacks? Hey, she had some problems. She had to stop in the middle of the race, had some equipment issues. By the time she got them straightened out and got back in the race, there was no way she was going to even come close to her best time. But as she told me later, she said, hey, Dad, I refocused. I said, what am I here for? It's to have fun. It's not necessarily going to be my best time this race, but I'm still, there'll be another day, there'll be another time, and I'm going to enjoy this. She was determined. Focused, she was clearly focused on what she wanted. It was to have fun. It was to have personal time, to be outdoors, to have a good feeling about the way herself and the way the day went. And in terms of an end result picture, she, you know, she had a clear picture of what running on a regular daily basis was going to mean to her, both physically and mentally, in terms of weight, in terms of shape, in terms of endurance, in terms of mental sharpness. Very, very clear picture of what she was all about. You know, another example that sort of backs up this list of five things that I think are necessary to have a commitment is I have the privilege of serving on a family, not mine, a family board of directors, and have for a number of years. And this last month, there was not only the board meeting, but there was also the annual shareholder meeting. And the family was there. This is a second generation, long running business. And the family not only was the second generation there with their spouses, there was also the third generation there. What are they giving up? This family gives up time to create a business, to have a family-owned business that can support the family, that can be something that they're proud of, that, you know, as far as purpose, it's a legacy. Their parents, their dad started the business. It was a legacy he passed on to them. It's a legacy that they want to pass on to their children. In terms of determination, it always hasn't been rosy, as all of us know who've had a business in these recent years. Sometimes have been difficult, sometimes have been easy, but they're in it for the long run. They have a determination to take the bad along with the good. And focus, how do they stay focused on this? Frequent meetings with the family to talk about what they're trying to achieve here. You know, it's hard. Sometimes some of us need other stimulus outside of ourselves to keep this focus going. End results, clear picture. Third generation was there. Third generation ranges from adult children graduated from college well along in their careers to children still in, I'm going to guess, elementary school, could be middle school. Clear picture of a business that serves the need of multiple generations of a single family, extended family. You know, a couple other quick examples here. Working with clients recently, I have a client that's looking, he's got a great job, likes his job, but he's looking to buy a business. And, you know, he has really approached this goal of buying a business with a very serious level of commitment. He has sacrificed all kinds of personal time to do the research necessary to make a good decision about buying a business. Remember, he's already working full-time in a job that he likes, that he's committed to, but he's taken his free time, the time we would goof off, let's say. His purpose, very clear. It isn't just about money. It's about a place where he feels his skills might be better utilized, where he might be more appreciated. So he's not looking to just buy any company that will produce revenue. He's looking for the right fit that will make a difference to him, that will let him approach each day with a level of excitement that he may not be getting today. Determination, lots of toads in this pond, and he's been looking at them. And maybe kissing some of them, but, you know, he's going to keep going. He's committed that this is a long-term project and that there are going to be more bad deals that he looks at than there ever will be good deals. How does he stay focused? Well, he uses a coach to stay focused. That's one of his tools that he said, you know, if I'm going to stay focused on this, I need a coach. I need regular check and review points to make sure that I'm still working on this. An end pitcher, he's got a very clear end pitcher of what it would be like for him and his family, for him to have a job in a company that he has ownership that is got a long-term return rather than just short-term payout. The last example that I kind of wanted to share with you is again, a couple of clients that I'm working with that are successful business people. They could be even more successful business people in terms of those of us looking at it from the outside, just looking at where they are in their career path. But they have got a commitment to family versus career at this point in their life. And what does that mean? That means that in terms of sacrifice, they are willing to sacrifice being recognized for being at the top of their career in return for more time with their family. They've got a very clear purpose. It isn't just the money they're making. It isn't the money they could make if they had the next promotion right away, but it's the time with their family that is the key measurement, the purpose. And their determination, you know, it's pretty easy. I won't say it's easy, but it's not that difficult to sit down and make that kind of family over career decision when you're sitting at home at the kitchen table. But how do you handle it all the time when you're in the office and opportunities come up where you could excel and move forward, but you know that to do that, you would have to give up on the family time? And they've chosen to make that commitment not to do that. So they're dealing with the setbacks. And they know that, you know, there are going to be times when they just can't make that trade-off. How do they stay focused? Family discussions. Constant reinforcement of the benefits of the choice that they've made. And end picture results, real clear picture of what their family life is going to look like. Well, I hope I didn't spend too much time in those examples, but I think it's important that we not just talk about what are the ingredients necessary to make a good long-term commitment, but that we understand how other people have done it. So again, just as I recap before we go to commercial here, sacrifice, purpose, determination, focus, and a clear picture of the end results. Those are the key ingredients. Well, our producer is going to take us to a commercial. We'll be right back and then sort of bring in the accountability side of this commitment discussion.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Okay, and we're back and we're continuing our discussion on are you committed to succeed or just survive? And, you know, the discussion involves if you're not committed, you can't be held accountable. If you're being held accountable to tasks that you're not committed to doing, you're wasting your time. If you're truly committed and if you've developed an accountability process, then you are going to succeed, not just survive. It's real easy. Are you in or are you out? Either you're all in or you might as well get out. Let's take a look how accountability fits into this discussion on commitments. The International Coaching Federation has a definition of accountability, competency. They call it competency number 11, managing progress and accountability. And they define it as the ability to hold attention on what is important for the client and to leave responsibility with the client to take the action. You know, this is an area that causes some confusion for new coaches. And let me just preface this with saying I'm talking about coaches, but I really believe that there is no difference between what I do as a professional coach and what you may be doing as a professional manager or manager of people. It's the same skill set applied with a different term. When we're talking about holding people accountable, we're talking about not doing the work for them, but holding their attention on what is important for them. And by talking about what's important for them, you have to understand that what's preceded this accountability discussion is a in-depth discussion identifying what really is important to the person. You know, I was in a meeting the other day, and it was this long dialogue over an issue. And then we finally said, well, really, what's important? Forget about who wins or loses in this discussion. What is the end objective that we're each trying to walk away with? You know, and once we could identify what really it was we were trying to achieve and hold our focus on achieving that and excluding the other ego-related things, then it was much easier to stay focused on what needed to be done. Again, here, I want to say that the first step in accountability is measuring the client's commitment level to the tasks. If they aren't truly committed to achieving this goal, then all the accountability steps in the world aren't going to get them there. As you talk to them about commitment levels and whether they're willing to make sacrifices and whether they've identified the real purpose, what is the clear mission behind achieving this goal, as you talk to them and get a sense of what's their level of determination? Are they willing to stick this thing out in the bad times through the initial setbacks that are going to take place? Do they have a clear picture of what success looks like, of what achieving this goal or accomplishing this task is really going to mean to them and how it's going to make their business or their life different? And once you've done that, then, okay, what is the system we're going to set up to keep you focused on this goal so it doesn't slip back? And that system that ensures the focus is really, in my mind, what we're calling accountability. Holding attention on what's important to the client. Holding attention, holding focus on what's important, on what the client has committed to achieve. Doing this, the way we do this as a coach, is clearly asking the client, what are you doing to move forward to achieve this goal that you've laid out? Okay? What have you done since the last time we've talked? And then acknowledging them for either what they've done or not done, acknowledging them in the sense that making them aware of whether they are moving forward, standing still, or dropping behind. The job is not to berate them for not doing things. The job is to make them aware of whether they've done them or not. It's up to them to beat themselves up if they want to, okay? The good coach is prepared from the last session to this session with what are the actions that everybody said they were going to do? Did the client do what I want to call the homework? Most people don't like that term, but did they do the homework? Homework in the sense of not things I assigned as the coach, but homework in the sense of things that the client identified, steps that needed to be taken to achieve the goal that they are committed to achieving. Many times I work with clients in between sessions to help them stay focused. They ask me, Doug, could you send me an email? Could you give me a voicemail message just to remind me before we meet and talk again? Many times in the coaching session, it's important to help remind them of what that end picture results are going to be. Remember when we talked last month or 2 months ago and how excited you got about what life would look like if you achieved this? Oh, yeah. How do you still feel about that? Do you still feel as excited about that? You know, it's being positive with the client rather than berating them about the efforts they're making to achieve this. And it's about, in my mind, constantly retesting. Reassessing is a better term. Reassessing, having them reassess, not the coach reassess, having them reassess their level of commitment to the task. And if the level of commitment is no longer there, then you have to question whether the task should still be on the list. Those are the kinds of things I think we could spend a lot more time on accountability, but the point I wanted to make, the takeaway for today's discussion is that in my mind, accountability starts with determining the level of commitment. Goals are not effective. They should not be on your list of things to do if you haven't assessed the level of commitment that you're going to assign to those goals. So I hope that has helped you today. I hope that that you can go away and look at your list. We're still at the beginning of the year. Look at your New Year's resolution list. Look at your strategic planning or your business plan list and sit down and evaluate, what is my level of commitment to these things? Am I willing to sacrifice? Do I have a bigger purpose than just getting it done? Am I determined to live with the setbacks? Do I have a system to stay focused, accountability? And do I have a clear picture of the benefits of achieving this goal, of the end results? So I hope you've enjoyed today's discussion. I hope that you can take this and apply it in your business right away. Be sure to tune in again and listen to us. We have once a month I like to talk and share some of my ideas with you. The rest of the time I really enjoy the guests that we have, and we'll have another great guest next week. We air live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Right here on octalkradio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter. Usually comes out on either late Wednesday or early Thursday morning. And if you're not getting it, go to our website. Drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and we'll make sure that you get it. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off, hoping that you can take what we talked about today and put it to immediate use. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.